make sure that you find your 90-day challenge. I will. We're going to talk about that for just a little bit. Brother Jim back there before the service taught me something. Let me go with you. Remember this? Do this. Remember this is the church and this is the steeple. Remember that? Open the doors and there's all the... And Jim says, I love my congregation. They're all bald. I'm like, what's that? I do love my congregation very much. I want to spend just a few minutes speaking to you about serving together. Last week we talked about growing together, but growing together has to have a purpose. Growing together produces unity. Serving together produces cooperation. And there's not a one of you in this congregation that has the right to do nothing. Let me just tell you that right now. I mean, we could just go ahead and pray and go home after that. But I'm going to spend some time with you on this. Mark chapter 1, if you want to open your text there, you can follow along on your smartphones too. This is a picture of the Sea of Galilee on the west side. It's on the west side. That's where Jesus grew up. I have blocked out the town of Capernaum. It's hard to see there. We'll go just a little bit deeper in just a minute. But Jesus spent about 70% of his ministry in this region. You're looking west there, over toward the west. The Sea of Galilee is the sea there, and that's the town of Capernaum. If you look to the right in the picture, you would go north toward Bethsaida, where the disciples were from. They were fishermen. And Jesus spent roughly 70% of his ministry in this area. Start saving your nickels. My goal is February, March of 17 to take us back here to this region. It's absolutely phenomenal. You need, going to Israel's like going to heaven, except you have to come back. That's the only bad part about it. But in Mark chapter 1, Mark starts out his account by saying Jesus is walking along the Sea of Galilee on the seashore, and he meets some guys, some fishermen, and he starts calling them to be his disciples. And as he's walking along the Sea of Galilee, he comes into the city of Capernaum, into the synagogue that is in Capernaum. This is the 4th century synagogue that is there. And when he goes into the synagogue, after having chosen his disciples, he begins to teach in this synagogue. The basalt stones that you see there are the synagogue that Jesus taught in, the base of that. The white stones are the 4th century synagogue they built on top of that. But these stones, would be able to tell you exactly what happened in Mark chapter 1, 2, 3, and 4. Jesus goes into this synagogue, and as he's teaching, a man is possessed by a devil, and he starts crying out, Jesus, leave us alone. Jesus deals with that demonic man, and there's a crowd around Jesus, and he hears that Peter's mother-in-law is sick, and so he goes across the street, so to speak, in Capernaum. He goes across the street, and he heals Peter's mother-in-law. And there's just such a tumult in the city of Capernaum that he leaves. He gets up one morning really early, and he goes out into a desert place, and he starts to pray. Some of his disciples come and look for him and say, Jesus, what are you doing? Where are you going? He's like, I need to go to these other cities, and I need to preach. And he does that for a few days, all in this area, all right here in this area. He does all of this. After a few days, Jesus comes back to Capernaum. And Mark chapter 2, verse 1 starts out with a central idea. He says, when Jesus returned to Capernaum several days later, the news spread quickly that he was back home. That's where he kind of based while he was in the northern Galilee area. Jesus was born in Bethlehem about 90 miles south of here, and grew up in Nazareth, a few miles west of here. But when he did his ministry, he based in Capernaum, right here on this seashore. This is where he lived. This is what he would call home. And so when Jesus came back home to Capernaum, these are the remains of the city, the news spread quickly that he was there, and crowds would come and follow. And Mark wants us to know, in Mark chapter 2, verse 1, that the point of all of the story that he's going to tell now about how four people cooperate to get this paralyzed man to Jesus, what Mark wants us to know is that Jesus is the central idea of all of this. The reason there are crowds is because of Jesus. I mean, people wanted to be around him. It was good to be around him. He's the Son of God. He could touch people and heal them. He knew what the scriptures meant. He's God. I mean, Jesus didn't need a commentary. He was the commentary. He could just say it. And it was the right translation. It was the right application. It was everything. So you wanted to be around Jesus. That's the point Mark wants to make. So when Jesus comes back to Capernaum, he goes to Peter's mother-in-law's house, which you can see today. Archaeology has uncovered it. And the Catholic Church, of course, has built a big shrine over the top of it. But you can go visit this house where it is. It's very small. It's not like the houses that we live in. If you'll look at the city streets here, this will give explanation to why crowds are an issue. And so people would come to Capernaum, and the people in Capernaum would crowd the streets, and they crowded around the house of Peter's mother-in-law, where she was, or Peter's house, where his mother-in-law lived. And the crowd grew, news spread very quickly, and it was a problem. Now, I want to share with you just a couple of things about serving together that I think is so critical. And these things apply no matter what business you're involved in. If you're a business person, you need to get the principles in this text, Mark chapter 2. When you're a church guy like I am, you need to get these principles. When you're an individual who want to be significant in life, you need to learn these two things. It's so huge. These two things are the difference maker in successful businesses, in successful people, in successful churches. So write these down. For Mark, Jesus is the central idea. He's the focus. And really and truthfully, no matter what industry we are in, no matter what we do, my industry is no different than yours per se. Jesus Christ is the central idea. Would you say amen to that? Because Paul says to the Corinthian church, no matter what you do, do all to the glory of God. And so what you do through the week and what I do through the week, there's no difference. There's no different principles. There's no different goal. There's no different aim. There's nothing different. For all of our lives as believers, the central idea is Jesus. But if we want to get people to Jesus, if we want to be successful in what we do, there are some things you have to overcome. Step out. There has to be something behind the I will. The people who say I will have figured this out. The people who are successful in their business have figured this out. The people that run successful families have figured this out. And so this is just so powerful. These two simple things that lead to success, that lead to togetherness, that lead to accomplishing goals are huge. So let me discuss them with you. Remember, Jesus is the central idea to Mark, and there's a paralyzed man in the city of Capernaum. Now, the paralyzed man represents clearly us as people. We are absolutely, I am so convinced from the scripture that salvation is of the Lord. There's no person in their own self that will ever be able to go after the Lord. There's none that seek after God. Remember all these texts? There's none that does good. There's not one. Nobody on their own seeks after Christ. Nobody. Nobody. There's none that seek after God. We're paralyzed. We absolutely have no ability to make it to where Jesus is to hear him. There's no way. So somebody has to get involved to bring us to Jesus, to bring the message to Jesus. Romans talks about this. How shall they believe in whom they've not heard? How will they hear unless someone preaches? How will they preach unless they go? So in Mark chapter 2, Mark wants us to know Jesus is the central idea. And the problem in the story is we've got a paralyzed guy who needs to get to Jesus and he can't. And again, no matter what business you're running, you have a problem. You have a goal or an idea that needs to reach its finishing point and it can't unless you master the two things that you need to master. And that's what I want to speak to you about. This is what makes us I will people. So powerful. Now, remember the city of Capernaum. Tiny streets. Tiny houses. Tiny doorways. I mean, it, really and truthfully, if 50 people showed up, you're done. It's locked down. There were many more people than that that followed Jesus. Jesus is feeding 5,000 at a time, up to 20,000, 3,000, 4,000. People just thronged him. Imagine that in this little city. And so we have something to overcome, and it's this. Mark 2:2. Soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors that there was no more room even outside the door. Principle number one is for us to be I will people, you have to know that crowds get in the way. What's that mean? I've got to tell you, you know, I'm a church planter and that's what I've spent my whole life doing. I have some friends here today sitting by Cody and Kristen who are part of the church plant. They just moved here to Maryville, so they know what I'm talking about when I say all of the things that happened in Ohio. And we went from 17 people to 400 or 500 people, and it was fun, it was good. But it was not good. Because one of the things that you learn when you deal with things is crowds get in the way. Crowds get in the way of people who want to get other people to Jesus. People have to step out of the crowds to accomplish something. Crowds get in the way. You would think that this would be a great thing, that there's so many people thronging Jesus. It was a barrier. When I preach to crowds, and we have an invitation, and I say to people, you need to come to Christ. Often the crowd is a barrier. Am I making sense? I don't want to step out and go through the crowd. And so the crowds get in the way. The crowd becomes an issue for this paralyzed man who needs to get to Jesus. He's paralyzed. He can't even move himself. How in the world is he going to get through a crowd? Let me make another point here. Nobody in the crowd did anything about the paralyzed man. Think about this. they thought the goal was to be a part of the crowd. They thought the goal was to be a part of the crowd and listen to the Word of God being taught. Most people in the crowd think that that's what church is. I was a part of the congregation. I heard the Word of God preached. Now I'm going home. And little do we know that we get in the way of the paralyzed people who need to see Jesus. We, like this crowd in Capernaum, come and don't pay attention to the hurting people who need to have been spoken to, who need to have been loved on, who need to have been cared for, and they sit on the fringe of this crowd and nobody did anything about it. Crowds get in the way. Crowds, quite frankly, are a problem. Now, you say, well, don't you want more people to come to your church? Yes and no. Yes, because I want our church to grow, but no, I know that 90% of the people that come will just get in the way. 1 out of 10 will be I will people. Does that make sense? It's a pastor sharing his heart. When I read this text personally, I get annoyed that the crowd thought the idea was to be a part of the crowd, and the crowd left the paralyzed man to sit by himself. That just annoys me. They didn't do what they needed to do. Crowds get in the way. If you're going to be an I will person, I'm going to tell you, you're going to have to step out of the crowd. If you wait for the crowd to do it, guess what's going to happen? You're not going to do it. If you're a businessman, a businesswoman, a family leader, an industry leader, a shift leader, whatever you are, if you want to be an I will person, you're going to have to step out of the crowd and not be like everybody else, because most people are happy to just be a part of the crowd. Because it's safe, it feels good, I'm not in the spotlight, I can just kind of go with the herd, I can just kind of be a part of that. I will people are not a part of the crowd, or at least they step outside of the crowd and pay attention to those people who need Christ the most. You could have stood on the street all day long and said to this paralyzed man, hey, why don't you come to church? Because I'm paralyzed? Hey, brother, it'll be good to see you Sunday. Come on. Yeah, I'm just going to sit right here. Or Monday morning, or in their case, Sunday morning, when you miss Saturday church, right? Hey, we missed you yesterday. Yeah. Yeah, I'm paralyzed. Well, we really want you to be a part of the crowd. Yeah, that'd be really nice. I'd really like to see Jesus. But I'm paralyzed. Crowds always get in the way. It's those champions who step out of the crowd that make a difference. The second thing that you have to master is this. Critics despise the way. So if you're going to be successful in anything, you've got to overcome the crowds and you've got to overcome the critics. If you and I wait for people to like what you're doing, guess what we're going to do? Nothing. Am I right? I mean, I learned a long time ago, you know, when I was a young pastor, I thought it was spiritual to please people. Well, Well, I learned right away, you can't please people, that it's more spiritual to please the Lord. I know that seems like duh, that a preacher should get that before he gets out of college. What I learned is if I choose A, all of the B people are mad. If I choose B, all of the A people are mad. So what I have to do is choose G for God. And then some of the A people get mad, some of the B people get mad, but the G crowd, God is pleased. So, let me give you a picture here. The crowd doesn't do anything about the man with palsy, but there's four guys that do. There are four people who step out of the crowd. They go get the paralyzed guy on his mat. They pick him up. They come to the crowd. They're like, we can't get in here because of the crowd. The crowd's in the way. And so they climb up on the house and they tear a hole in the roof and they let the paralyzed man down, suspended, right in front of Jesus. And Jesus says, wow, this is great faith. Your sins are forgiven you. Some of the teachers of religious law who were sitting there thought to themselves, what is he saying? This is blasphemy. The other thing you have to get is when you step out of the crowd and when you do something that's right, not everybody's going to like it. A couple of reasons. Because you embarrass them as the crowd. They're like, oh, I guess we should have done something. That's not good. Or two, you didn't do it their way. Can I get an amen to that? You didn't do it their way. Or you didn't do it to their strict standards. Now, I don't know about you, but if you're dealing with a paralyzed man that needs to see Jesus, I don't have much standards to get this guy to Christ. My idea is get him to Jesus and let Jesus figure it out. That's what they did. They lower him before Jesus, and the teachers, the critics despise the way. Jesus is the way. The crowd gets in the way. Critics despise the way. Now, there's one positive thing in this, and I like this. Courage finds a way. While he was preaching God's word to them, four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd. So they dug a hole through the roof above his head. Then they lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. Courage finds a way. Courage. Courageous people are those people who step out of the crowd, who don't listen to the critics, and they bring a person to Christ. That's an I will person. And I don't care what you say, if you're a part of the crowd, you're part of the problem. It doesn't seem like that because the crowd is there to hear Jesus. The crowd is there listening to the Word of God being preached. But the crowd, except for four of them, doesn't care that a paralyzed man can't get to Christ. Courage finds a way. You know this to be true. If all we ever did was follow the crowd and all we ever did was listen to the critics, we would never, ever, ever accomplish anything. Ever. Not me in my industry, not you in your industry, not you in your family, not you in your personal life. You have to step out from the crowd and turn your ears off to the critics and point your face toward Christ and say, I will accomplish what Christ has called me to do. Period. That's an I will person. That's an I will person. I will do this. Well, you're not going to do it right. Yeah. I think the important thing that we want to say here is every one of us can be I will people. Every one of us can be somebody important if we'll step out of the crowd.
I know a lot of you are saying, what can I do? I'm just a little punk. I don't count. Well, you're dead wrong. The little punks have always counted, because in the long run, the character of a country is the sum total of the character of its little punks. But we've all got to get in there and pitch. We can't win the old ball game unless we have teamwork.
And that's where every John Doe comes in. It's up to him to get together with his teammates. And your teammate, my friend, is the guy next door to you. Your neighbor, he's a terribly important guy, that guy next door. You're going to need him, and he's going to need you, so look him up. If he's sick, call on him. If he's hungry, feed him. If he's out of a job, find him one. To most of you, your neighbor is a stranger, a guy with a barking dog and a high fence around him. Now, you can't be a stranger to any guy that's on your own team. So tear down the fence that separates you. Tear down the fence, and you tear down a lot of hates and prejudices. Tear down all the fences in the country, and you really have teamwork.
Yes, sir, my friends. The meek can only inherit the earth when the John Does start loving their neighbors. You better start right now. Don't wait till the game is called on account of darkness. Wake up, John Doe. You're the hope of the world.
Wake up, John Doe. You're important to the world. Wake up, John Doe, and step out of the crowd. Wake up, John Doe, and stop listening to the critics. An I will person sees the paralyzed man, knows the paralyzed man can't respond to any kind of invitation, carries him to Jesus. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one's looking around. Don't let the crowd get in the way. Don't let the critics get in the way. You see, the main thought is Jesus. The central idea is Jesus. I want to ask you, if you would, to take that 90-day challenge card and look at it for just a little bit. I'm going to ask you to do something very simple. We're going to ask you to step out of the crowd, and over the next 90 days, this is easy, will you donate 1 hour of your time for somebody else? 1 hour. You see your choices there. Visit someone in the hospital. Write an encouraging letter. Hand out a gospel tract. Visit a shut-in. I will serve others for 90 days, 1 hour a week. 1 hour a week. Can you do that? Pay attention to the paralytic. Step out of the crowd. Do that. Here's what I'd love for you to do. This is our invitation. I want you to write your name in there. Tell us that you're going to make a commitment of 1 hour a week. We're going to be I will people here at Victory. I want you to sign it. And I want you to take your commitment, bring it up to the altar as an offering to Christ, and keep your commitment. Will you do that? Think about it. Pray about it right now while the music plays. Fill it out. Bring it up. I will step out of the crowd. I will be an I will person. No critics. No crowd. Only Christ.